Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
We're very fortunate today to have Pastor Cindy. She's got a lesson. You do have a lesson for us today? All right. I've always got one in my back pocket just in case she got caught up in traffic or an old friend came in from out of town or she says, oh, I forgot. You know, well, so we're ready. So anyway, thankfully, Cindy's got a message for us. And so come on in, Cindy. God bless you.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here with the few of you that are here. There's a bunch more right out there. Yes, there is. So it is December. It's Christmas time. I love Christmas time. I love it. So you know I have to speak about something that has to do with Christmas. So how many of you like gifts? I'm sure everybody out there is raising their hand. They like gifts. I like gifts. I like to give gifts. I like to receive gifts. But there are a lot of gifts in our lives that a lot of times we don't even realize we have. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. The title is The Gift, Looking for the Gift in Your Circumstances. Because sometimes we get so caught up in what's going on around us and in our circumstances that we don't see the gift in it. Now, there are benefits to positivity and benefits to looking for that gift and being a positive type person. One is it reduces stress due to less worrying. It helps with your emotional and physical well-being or your health. You develop better coping skills. You're happier. You become more confident. And you surround yourself with positivity and positive people. When you're naturally positive and you get around somebody who's negative, you really don't want that. And you really realize that. So you want to get around somebody who's positive. So I want to talk about three people in the Bible who are had some issues. And they come from all different walks of life. So the first we're going to talk about is a poverty-stricken widow. And I want to give you a little backstory to her before we look at any scripture. Elijah was told by God to go to Zarephath, where he had commanded the new King James, well, the King James Version says he had commanded a widow there to take care of him. But the NIV says he directed a widow. But anyway, somehow this widow was going to take care of Elijah. So he finds the widow and she's gathering sticks when he gets to town. She's looking, gathering up sticks and he asks for a glass of water. And she says, okay, so she goes to get him water, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he says, hey, while you're at it, get me some bread. I need some bread, too. And this is what she says to him. She says, as surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. That's pretty negative. She's got it all planned out. They have this little bit of food left. But, I mean, she's being a realist. They didn't have anything. There was a famine going on. So there really wasn't any way that she could see that she would have found that. But then Elijah tells her that she will not die. In fact, he says, if you do this, you will have oil and flour for as long as the famine lasts. Then 1 Kings 17:15-16 says she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Now when we look at this, what do we think the gift is? We think the gift is the oil and the flour, the food that she had that lasted all this. And while that's part of it, the widow's gift was actually a stranger asking her for her last bit of food. That's how it all started. A stranger asking her for food. Now, you wouldn't think that's a gift, but that was, because that's how her miracle came about. But the widow also had to do something. She had to choose to give the stranger her food because she didn't have to. You know, God, I think, according to scripture, made her predisposed to want to help, but she could have said, God gives us a free will, and she could have said, no, this food is for my son and myself. Or she could have said, you know, what have I got to lose? I'm going to die anyway. I mean, I don't know what her frame of mind was, but she chose obedience. She chose, the Lord gave her that thought to help this man. She did that. So she chose to be obedient to the Lord. And then we're going to look at a successful soldier who's about to lose everything. He's very successful in life. 2 Kings 5:1 says, "Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy." Now this is a man who's well thought of, probably has money, has prestige, he has all of these things, but he has leprosy. And when you have leprosy, you don't get to live with everybody else. You don't get to enjoy your home and those things. You're put outside, away from everybody else in a leper colony. So he was about to lose everything that he had. But he had some things. He had a servant girl who said, "Boy, I wished, you know, my master would go to this prophet in Israel who could help him." And he had a wife who said, "You know what? Let me go tell my husband this." So she went and told her husband, you know, "Hey, there's this prophet in Israel." And then he decided to go. He went to Israel and he went to see Elisha. But Elisha didn't even come out and greet him. He didn't even come out and say, "Hey, I have the answer for you." He did nothing. I mean, he sent his servant out, which ticked Naaman off, made him mad, because he thought, you know, "Hey, I'm a man of prestige here. I'm somebody, and I get nothing but a servant coming out to tell me to go dip in this muddy Jordan River 7 times. And what is that? You know, there's better rivers in my country." So he was mad and he was going to go home, but his servants talked to him and basically said, "What have you got to lose? If he had asked you to do something really hard, you'd have been willing to do it. But this is something simple. You at least should try it. You know, you should do this." So Naaman did, but he had some gifts. His gift was not the healing. That was one of them. But the gift was the servant girl who was in his household who decided to speak up and say something. The gift was his wife. Of course, all of us wives are gifts. Just wanted to say that. Anyway, some of you are laughing. A wife who passed on the information that her servant girl had given. A prophet who made him mad was also a gift, because the word came through the prophet, even though he made him mad. And then his servants who spoke up, his servants who said, "Master, hey, if he had asked you to do something hard, you would have done that." So all of those were gifts. But Naaman also had to do something to get the bigger gift, or the ultimate gift, which was he had to listen to wise counsel, no matter that it came from a servant girl, no matter that it came from his servants. And he had to humble himself, because, you know, he could have said, "Hey, I know everything. I am more prestigious than you servants. You haven't risen above servanthood, so what do you know?" But he didn't. He chose to humble himself and listen to them, and he was obedient. And through all of that, he got his healing. And then we have a man who was raised in a palace at the very top of society who loses everything. Everything. There's so many examples in the Bible that we could be using. I mean, Joseph came to mind, but that was just a little bit too obvious, so I didn't go with that one. But there's so many. But Exodus 2:10 said, "When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" And what had happened here was Pharaoh had made this decree that all of the male children, I think it was 2 and under, would be killed. So the male children would be killed. But his sister hid him in the bulrushes in the river. Pharaoh's daughter saw him, pulled him out, and she adopted him. So he was raised in the palace of Pharaoh. He was raised to be a prince. So he had everything you could imagine. And you would think most of us would probably just keep a low profile. "Hey, I know I'm adopted here, but I'm just going to kind of keep a low profile. I'm not going to make any waves because I've got a pretty good thing going here." But one day he was out and saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand, and thought, well, nobody saw me, I'm okay. Then another day, he sees two men fighting, two Hebrews fighting, and he says, why are you two fighting together? And they said, oh, you're going to kill one of us like you did that Egyptian. And so it really scared Moses. And so he takes off running for his life. He comes upon Jethro, which ends up being his brother-in-law, or father-in-law at some point. He became a shepherd. So he really fell from where he was to being in a palace, to being out in the fields with the sheep, and being a shepherd, and being up on a mountain and seeing a burning bush and saying, hey, I wonder what's going on over there. And then he goes over there and finds out that God is speaking to him. And God says this to him. He says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? So Moses argued with God. Moses said, I can't talk well. You're wanting me to go speak to Pharaoh. I have speech issues. Probably inside of his head, he's probably thinking, and I really just don't want to go back there because I've already been there. They don't like me. I don't want to go back. But he's making up all these excuses as to why he couldn't go. And but God told him he needed to go. So finally God said, okay, look, I'll send your brother Aaron to you, and he can talk, you know, speak for you. But Moses had several gifts. Now, the ultimate gift is not a healing or anything like that for Moses, because really he led Israel, but Israel was no gift. If you read scriptures, Israel was like a pain. So he ended up with that. So I don't, you know, I guess Moses' gift was just being obedient to God at the end and seeing all God's miraculous power that he had, that he got to actually see firsthand, which was awesome. But his gift was Pharaoh's daughter, for one, who decided to raise him. She didn't have to. She could have said, I'm not going to take this, you know, baby. Or she could have been taking a risk. I don't know. But she took him and she raised him. You know, a gift was the two men who were fighting and told him, are you going to kill us like you did the Egyptian? Because it spurred him to go on to his next place, which he would probably not have left had that not happened. And him, he was afraid. So he took off. The gift was also Jethro, who took him into his family and became his father-in-law. So Jethro was a gift. And Aaron, who went with him to see Pharaoh, Aaron was a gift as well. So what Moses did, first of all, he removed himself from a harmful situation. He knew he was in trouble. So that's always smart, to remove yourself from a harmful situation if you can. He was willing to do work that was considered menial. I mean, he had come from a palace. So, you know, herding the sheep was a little menial compared to that. But he was willing to do that. He put himself in a position to hear from God. He saw the burning bush. He went out to see what was going on, and God spoke to him. He had many reasons why he could not do what God wanted, but he obeyed anyway. He obeyed anyway. You know, I think I had all this situated, and I thought, you know, had my PowerPoint done. I don't know if this happens to anybody else who speaks or whatever. But then I kept thinking, this just isn't right. It's just not, the way I have it is just not really what it needs to be. And I couldn't figure out how to get it aligned and how it should be. And I really didn't even know what it was supposed to be. And I was laying in bed this morning, and because I'm thinking the ultimate gift, the healing, the food, you know, and all of that. And I felt like the Lord said, no, it's the people. It's the people. You're missing the people who are the instruments of all of this stuff happening. And so many times in our lives, we miss the people. And we don't realize that the person is the gift. Now, I'm not trying to make brownie points here, but I will tell you that when my husband gives me a gift, yeah, that's nice. But truly, he's the gift. You know, he is. It's the people in our life that's the gift. And he's over there shaking his head. Yes. But, you know, everybody has gifts in their lives, and the problem is we're not seeing them as the gift. We're not looking for that person to be the gift. People who come at my job and gripe at me and yell at me, you know what? They're a gift. Do you know why? Because it helps me learn to deal with difficult people, and that's a gift. People who are rude in the store, anywhere, people who I have had to fire before have been gifts because they have taught me something. So really, they're a gift. But we don't see that. We don't see them as a gift that we want to even know half the time. But they're a gift. You know, I think of teachers I've had in school or other people who were hard on me and I thought weren't fair. You know, they were not fair to me. But they were a gift because they pushed me to be better than I am. I think of Lenz, Brother Lenz, who was my youth director when I was a kid and would always have me say a prayer or he'd have me lead singing or something. And I was in front of people and I hated it. And I told my parents, I am not going back to CAs anymore because Lenz always makes me do something. But you know what? That was a gift. Lenz was a gift because little did I know that one day I would be up talking to people. And I would need to have that little bit of experience under my belt. So all of those things, all of these people in our lives are gifts. And we just don't look for it and we don't see it. So this Christmas season, I want you to think about the gifts, the people in your lives that are gifts. And there are three things I want you to remember. No matter what your situation is, God can change it. No matter what it is, it doesn't matter how horrible it seems to you, how bad your situation seems to be, God can change it. No matter what your past has been like, God can make your future bright. There are people with horrible, horrible pasts, but God doesn't keep them there. He can bring them forward. And what does he usually use to do that? People. He puts people in them to propel them forward, to love on them, to help them. So no matter what your past has been like, God can make your future bright. Also, you don't have to stay the way you are. They say this thing all the time. That's just the way I am. No, it's not. That's the way you choose to act right now, but that's not just the way you are. We can be different. God can change us. We can use all kinds of people in our lives to change us. So I want to give you five things that will help you to see the gift in your situation. This will help you not to be negative, because when you're negative, you don't see gifts. When you're negative, all you see is poor, pitiful me. So I want to help you to see the gifts in your life. And one is to bombard your mind with God's word. That means you need to be in the word. You need to read the word. You need to pray over the word. You need to get that word in you. Because the more you have that in you and the closer you are to the Lord, the harder it is to be negative. It gets hard. Practice gratitude. Be thankful for things. Be thankful for the people in your life. Be thankful for the things the Lord has given you. Don't look at the negative. Don't look that I'm sick right now, but God has given me a roof over my head, a bed to sleep in, food in my pantry, friends to come and help me. You know, all of these things, a good family, all of these things, practice gratitude. And then replace I have to with I get to. Don't say, I have to read my Bible today. No, you get to read your Bible today. I have to go grocery shopping. No, you get to go grocery shopping because you have money. You're blessed, and you get to go to the store and buy things for your house. I have to mow my yard. No, you get to mow your yard because you have a yard to mow, and some people don't. Or I have to wash dishes. No, you get to wash dishes because you have dishes. And a lot of people don't have dishes, much less food to put on the dishes. So we've got to get out of this negative thought process. Instead of saying, I have to, say I get to. And then actually look for the gift in your situation. You might be going through something hard and you might think, I don't see anything. While you're really looking, look for that gift in your situation, because there is a gift in every situation. And then make all of these things above part of your morning routine. I start out my morning by thanking the Lord for things in my life. And usually it's when it's cold outside and I hear the wind blowing. Thank you that I have walls around me and a roof over my head and a warm bed and covers and all of those things. We need to be thankful, but we need to make all of these thankful things ahead, up above this, make them part of your morning routine. That every morning you thank the Lord for something. Every morning you say, today, Lord, I'm going to look for the gifts that are all around me. Don't let me get negative, but help me to look for the gifts. So I just wanted to, I feel like that's what the Lord had for us today, was just to really have us to get out of this negative mindset, which is so easy to get into, especially with COVID and everything that's going on, and really get our mind set on things above. So let's just pray about that. Father, I just come before you very thankful for the gifts in my life, Father, many of which I never appreciated because I never saw them as gifts. But, Father, they have been gifts just the same. So I thank you for them. I ask you, Father, that you would help me every single day to go out and look for more gifts in my life. Help all of us, those online, Father, who are watching right now, that they as well would go out and every day think, what are the gifts in my life? Help me, Lord, to see the gifts today that you have for me. Lord, I ask that you would just bless us and you would keep us safe. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.